I wanted to pick up again and expand a little bit on this, share a few scriptures that we did on Wednesday, and then expand on the Lord's compassion. Is that all right? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3 in the New Living Translation. Proverbs chapter 3 in verses 5 and 6. You know, miracles, signs, and wonders are going to come through and as a byproduct of the compassion and mercy of God. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6 in the New Living, it said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." Glory to God. You know, I just had a thought flutter up. You know, it's, you know, when we talk about the compassion and the love of God, the nature of God. You know, recently I was down with family in Georgia, and my mom was celebrating her 98th birthday, and it was just a wonderful time to be around family. And there's one thing that, you know, we all have family members that may not be living for God and living some kind of way. But that doesn't mean we don't love them. That doesn't mean we don't have compassion for them. And there's one thing that I have always observed my mom. She loves Jesus. And she loves you regardless. And it's like a bug to light. I got a few that are out there. But when they cannot get away from my mother's love for them, and they know what they're doing is not right. And my mother never brings it up to them. Never. She just loves them. And they keep gravitating to it. The love, the compassion, the love. I love you. And it's something I've observed for a while. And I see some of my, you know, a few of my siblings that are just, they gravitate to it. So I said, it doesn't mean we turn a blind eye, but they're not living for God. And even if they were, what does the scripture say? It says, if we see a brother sin a sin which is not unto death, we're to do what? Pray for them, not judge them. And sometimes we're like, well, I ain't praying for them. I ain't helping them because they ain't living for God. Well, let me see. I didn't see you so perfect. So he that is without sin should cast the first stone. I'm not me. Take the beam out of your own eye. So I think sometimes we need to just step back, let the love of God operate in us, and thank God for the mercy of God on our own lives. You see. And so I just, you know, I think about that sometimes, and I said, you know, it's the love of God that's going to draw people. Because I can tell you, if you create a barrier, when they do need help, who are they going to go to? And we have the power of God in us to deliver them from something. And if we create a barrier, who are they going to? So we want to keep doors open with the love of God. Family and friends and enemies. Glory to God. So One of the scriptures we were sharing on Wednesday in the New Living, well, we read it in the King James and New Living, is Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9. And we begin to see the nature of God because Jesus was a representation of him. The very nature of God was reflected in Jesus. And Psalm 145 and verse 8 and 9, it says, "The Lord is gracious and what? Full of compassion." Full of compassion. "Slow to anger and of what? Great mercy." Great mercy. "The Lord is what? Good to all." Not some. That means he is good to all. That means he's not a respecter of persons. In Matthew, what does it say? It says that the Son is all comes up on the just and the unjust, and it says even the rain is poured out upon, well, I think it says the evil and the good, but you get the point. He's benevolent to those that serve him and those that don't. And the New Living Translation, well, let me finish verse 9. "The Lord is good to all, and his what? Tender mercies are over all his works." So God is good. And he's good to all. The devil is hatred to all. He wants to do what? Kill and steal and to destroy. There's no good in him. But God is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And the New Living Translation says, "The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love." And then what else does it say? Verse 9, "The Lord is good to everyone." He's good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. So if we have his nature in us, then that means, what's that mean? If A equals B, then A should equals, right? If God is good to all and his nature's in us, then that means we should be what? Good to who? All. Makes you sit and think. So you say, well, sometimes I'm not. Well, then we need to grow a little bit in that area, right? That doesn't mean I'm good to some and judge the rest. It means I'm good to all, and I show compassion. So God is full of compassion. He's not a respecter of persons. And so as we were sharing, you know, it doesn't take faith to say God is able. It doesn't take any faith. You know, God is able. Sounds very religious. But even when you say God is willing, that's still too broad. You know, I could pull out some $100 bills here, and I could say, I'm willing to give some hundreds. But everybody in this room will go, geez, I hope it's me. So you could be willing, but is he willing for you? But it's different if I walk right over to you and I say, here. Then you know I'm willing to give you that money. And it's the same thing. We need to know from the scripture, God is willing concerning me, because if he's willing concerning me and you and you and you, then I can take that by what? By faith. It says, without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. He that cometh unto God must what? Believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we need to know he's willing to heal me. And I just so like this verse in let's go back to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6 in the New Living Translation. It says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. But this is the part I like. Seek his will in what? All that you do. And what else does it say? He will show you which path to take. So that means we should never be in a place where we don't know what to do. Isn't that what that means? That means if I seek his will, now I may not know what to do, but if I'm seeking him and I say, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm seeking you, help me in this. It says, he will do what? What does it say? He will show you which path to take. Man, I've been there. We've all been there and didn't know what to do. And then all of a sudden, there's an aha. Ah, I see which way to go. And he will show you which path to take. So we should never come up short where life is concerned. And he knew that. He just wants us to seek him in all that we do. Amen. Psalm 25, this is in the King James. Psalm 25 and verse 10. Psalm 25 and verse 10. It says, all the paths. See, we're talking about he'll show us the right path to take. But this also says here, all the paths of who? The Lord are what? Mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. See, when we seek him in all that we do, and he said he will show us the right path, that path is going to be mercy. I'll tell you, when you follow him, that path is going to be full of mercy. Help. That's why I tell people, if you've got a critical decision to make, make sure you seek him. Get quiet. Follow that inward intuition. Boy, I tell you, I was there a few times. That one time was life or death for me. The Lord told me, you've got 6 months. He told me in July. He said, you've got, if you don't get your stomach checked, he said, you won't see the end of the year. That's 6 months. Now, I didn't get in fear. I'd been trusting God and believing God. I wasn't in fear. But I went, you know, just like most of us, you go to the doctor, you go have a checkup. But this doctor was speaking negative, and I just said, something on the inside. You know what I said? You know that saying? So, something on the inside said, he ain't the one. Just this unsettled intuition, you know, your inner man is telling you, no. And I never went back, never called him, never went back, just said, see ya. Nice visiting with you. But I didn't tell him I'm not coming back. And then I went to somebody else and it was just like velvet. And I said, yep, this is it. This is it. And in 2 weeks it turned around. 2 weeks. And I knew, because when I asked this particular person, how serious was this, where I'm concerned, he said, if you'd gone another week, they would have opened you up. And I knew then, if you'd gotten opened up, it'd have been one thing after another, and you'd be 6 feet under. And with Jesus. And I said, it's so important that you follow that inward witness to know Now, I always say this, if there's nothing, keep going. Keep going forward. If you don't have a check or you don't have any, just keep moving. Because God will say, that's enough, hold up, and you'll know, or you just keep moving. See, we need to learn, because in these times that we're in, it's going to be so important to let him lead us on the right path, right? All his paths, that's what we're reading in Psalm 25, all of his paths are what? Mercy and truth. So now let's quick take a look, and I wanted to pick up again here. Psalm 103 in verse 2, the New Living, verse 2, 3, and 4. Says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins, and he heals what? All my diseases. He redeems my life from death and crowns me with what? Love and tender mercies. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. Verse 11, for his unfailing love towards those who fear him or reverence him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. See, his ways are so much higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Praise God. Well, let's pick up. I wanted to share something here from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And this is, well, actually, well, we read that. We shared that on Wednesday. Let's read Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, this is an interesting story, an interesting account, and you can see here in this whole chapter, I'm not going to read all of it, but you can see here. And if you back up, what did he say? He said, let's go to the other side. And starting in verse 5, I'm just going to read down. And this is him casting out the demons out of the madman of Gadara, the demon-possessed man. And said, they came over to the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. Now again, this area of Gadara was on the eastern side, or you could say in the area that's called Decapolis, which is on the side of the Sea of Galilee. If you look up that word Decapolis, it just means 10 cities. So it made up a region. That region today is Syria and Jordan. So Gadara was on the southern, southeast side, or the southern side of the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus sailed, they sailed across the Sea of Galilee from the top down to the bottom. And here they come into this area of Gadara, or he's from the Gadarenes, right? And he was come out of the ship. Immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him not with chains, right? Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So this man was bound with demons. And then, of course, you can read down further. He said that he saw Jesus afar off. And he ran and did what? He worshipped him. And Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he said, "What is thy name?" "Thy name is Legion." And so you see the rest of the story. And the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine." And you know the rest of the story, that they went into the pigs, and it was over 2,000 of them, and they ran violently down into the sea. Now, if you read, I believe it's in Matthew, Mark, and I believe Luke. I believe in the Gospel of Luke. See, I had asked this question one time, and the Holy Ghost gave me an answer. It's in the scripture, if you ask. But here, the devil said, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." But I believe it's in Luke, they said, "Don't send us out of the country." So spirits are territorial. They don't like to leave a region. So those spirits didn't want to leave that region. And it says that in the scripture. So anyways, further down, it's in the Gospel of Luke. Yeah, but it's in Luke. So further down in verse 19, or verse 18, 19, and 20, this man that got delivered in Matthew 5, he said, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." In other words, he wanted to follow Jesus. And what did he say? "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and do what? Tell them." Tell them. Say, tell them. "Tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee, and hath what? Compassion." He had compassion on him. He had mercy upon him. He certainly wasn't serving him, but he had compassion. And what happened? "And the man departed," and what? So they had come into this area of Gadara, but in that one area, but what did he do? He departed and began to publish in what? Decapolis. That's that whole region. If you look on ancient maps, you look at Decapolis, it was a large region that encompasses now Syria and Jordan. This guy went around telling the good news of the gospel of how he got delivered. This is why God wants to use us. Not just to go around preaching, but to tell how God delivered me, how good God is. He's a good God. So this man went about doing what? Sharing his testimony. So you want to see the result of this one man's testimony? Sometimes we read right around it and over it and through it and we don't see it. But just think about this. If you continue, what happened? And we're going to get over to Matthew to look at the result of this one man's testimony. But just look at what happened with Jesus here. He gets back into the ship, right? And it says here, "And Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side." He went back over again on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, right? And who meets him? Jairus. So he went from the bottom of Galilee back over, probably more towards Capernaum, back on the top side of Galilee. And that's where Jairus, who was a leader in the synagogue. And what happens? He's telling him, hey, my daughter's at the point of death. Come and heal her. And he said, okay, who's he run into? The woman with the issue of blood. This is something, isn't it? So she was in that crowd because what? She heard of something about Jesus. Now, we don't know if it happened to be because of this man that was spreading his testimony around Decapolis. We don't know. Could have been. But she heard something about Jesus. Now, let's look at Matthew 15. Because this is Matthew's account, Matthew 15, and starting in verse 29. Matthew 15 and verse 29. See, if you back up, from verse 29, it said here, and Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of what? Tyre and Sidon. So he's up in Lebanon. Today, that's the area of Lebanon. So he went up there. And then what happened? He ministered to the lady there. And healed her. And then you can see here, what does it say? He's up in the northern part, up towards Lebanon. So here, he went from Gadara up, went up to Tyre and Sidon, right? And what do you have here? He comes down and says, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. So now he comes back down to the northern part of Sea of Galilee. And it says he went up into the mountain and sat down there. So, sometimes we just read this, but look what happens. Verse 30. And great multitudes. You know, when you see a multitude, a great multitude, what the writers say, a great multitude is usually about 5,000 people. 4,000 to 5,000 people. So this says here, a great multitude came unto him, having with them those that were what? Lame, blind, maimed, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down, what? At Jesus' feet. And he did what? He healed them all. And it said here, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to be whole and the lame to walk and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now, the story doesn't stop there, because you're wondering, okay, he went in, it says, he departed and he came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. Where near the Sea of Galilee? Well, if you continue reading the story, you can see the effect of this man that was delivered in the tombs that spread the whole story around Decapolis. Because now he goes to feed the 4,000. Right after this, it says, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And ain't that don't sound like us. We may not have. I got to get a snack. Right? I bring my snack with me. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. So now you know the rest of the story, where he feeds the 4,000, and he has the 7 loaves and a few fishes. But let's go down verse 38 and 39. You can see the area he was in. It says, and they did eat and were 4,000 men besides women and children. Verse 39. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. Does anybody know where Magdala is? Magdala is between Tiberias, Magdala, Capernaum. It's on the western coast. So he was down in that Decapolis area. So he went from Tyre and Sidon and came down to the Sea of Galilee and went down back into that Decapolis area. And because of that one man's testimony, who he went about spreading his testimony, they brought, what does it say? They brought great multitudes unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at his feet, and he healed them. So all we're saying today is your testimony matters. Your testimony matters. You may not think so, but if we all out and are sharing something that God did in our lives, can have an impact in somebody's life. Does everybody understand? That's really what I was trying to get across today, is that our testimony matters. And let the love of God and the compassion of God rise up big in us and share something with someone. Share the good news of your deliverance. Hallelujah. That's what's going to take to reach the lost. They are not going to just come into church, because church, as far as they're concerned, is a joke. I'm not saying it's a joke, but they look at it from the outside and think. But when they hear from someone that they may know, and they see and they hear from you what God has done in your life, how he worked in your life, in your family, in you, it can make a difference in someone. This is what happened to the woman with the issue of blood. She heard about Jesus and his what? His compassion and his love and mercy. Hallelujah. I really do believe this in my heart, that we're on the edge. When you look at some of the major individuals that were used, Catherine Coleman and you, Marie Edgeworth Eder, and you see all of these men and women of God that were used, what's the primary thing that operated through them? Compassion and love. And they let God operate through them, and they weren't saying, oh, they would come into a meeting and they would let the love of God flow and operate. I heard Brother Hagin say this. He said, when you come into a service, he said, this was as a minister, he said, let compassion lead you. Let compassion lead you. If you have compassion pulling on your heart towards an individual, move in that direction. God wants to minister to them. If you have compassion towards someone, yield to that and move in that direction. Yield to it. Don't resist. Yield to it. Even as silly as you may try to, look, lean, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own. Don't try to figure it out. He's just asking you to yield to his compassion and follow it. Amen. Glory to God. So God, and now let's look at a few scriptures and finish here. 1 John 3 and 16, 17, and 18. 1 John in the King James chapter 3, verses 16, 17, and 18. I'll wait till you get there. It says, talking about the love of God. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because what? He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of what? That's what I'm talking about. When you have something that you can give, and compassion rises up, and you shut it down, what does it say? How dwelleth the love of God in him? Yield to that. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So follow the compassion. When it rises up, yield to it. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8, 9. 1 Peter, this is in the New Living Translation. I want to read this here in the New Living. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. It says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as what? Brothers and sisters. Be what? Tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Not, I bless you. No, not that kind of blessing. You know what I mean? That says, that is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. 1 John 2 and verse 6. 1 John 2 and verse 6. This is a familiar scripture in the King James. It says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to what? To walk even as he walked. So that means all it's saying is we should yield to the compassion of God, to the love of God. Let his nature work in us. And one last scripture, this is in the New Living Translation, Jude, which has one chapter, but verses 20, 21, and 22. 20, we're familiar with that, you know, building yourself up, praying in the Holy Ghost, right? But I want to read it in the New Living Translation. Verses 20, 21, and 22. It says, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Not just you. What does it say? Build each other up. In your most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves, what? Safe in God's love. And you must do what? Show mercy. Say show mercy. Show mercy to those whose what? Faith is wavering. So when somebody's faith is wavering, we're to do what? Show mercy. Show mercy. Amen. Praise God. God is wanting to use us in a greater way and in a greater measure. And it starts sometimes in little baby steps. We just have to yield. Let the love of God and the compassion of God and the mercy of God, let it rise up in us. And when it does, don't squelch it or shut it down. Praise God. Amen. Father God, we thank you today for your word. We thank you that it is life to us. And Father, where we've missed it, we purpose to do better. We purpose to renew our minds so that our minds are renewed, so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Father, we purpose that in our hearts, to let your love and your compassion flow through us to this earth. And Father, we thank you that we're your children, and we yield to you this day and commit our lives to you in a greater way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. It just boils down to a choice, that I choose to follow him. I choose to use my life for him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But if you're here today, and before we leave and before we unhook and we have communion today, if you're here today and it's important that we, at least if you've not made a choice, you know, where Christ is concerned, he died for you, and he's looking for you to do what? To yield to him and to accept him as your helper, as your savior. You know, we always say this, doing good is good, but it's not going to get you into heaven. His blood that was sacrificed and shed for all mankind is what cleanses us of eternal death and changes my spirit and brings eternal life into my spirit man, which gives me access to him and and heaven. So if you're here or you're watching online and you never decided, or maybe you did decide and you got away from God, and maybe you need to, you know, ask him back into your heart and repent of your life, the way you've maybe been living, now's the time to do that. There's no greater time to ask Jesus into your heart. And so let's, if, you know, the scripture says that we're to do what? Believe that Jesus Christ is God, he's Lord, he's the Savior, and that God raised him from the dead. If we believe that and say that with our mouth, the scripture says we'll be saved. So let's, if you're here today and or you're watching online and you've never done that, then let's make this profession of faith. This is your opportunity to do so. A simple thing from your heart. And let your heart and your mouth agree. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to ask Jesus into my heart. I believe that Jesus is Lord. He is Savior. And I believe that you raised him from the dead. I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart. Make something new of me. Cleanse me with your blood. And I now believe and confess with my mouth that I am saved. Now, if you'd said that and made that simple profession of faith, you have become born again. You've become a new person in Christ. And we'd love to welcome you into the family of God. Certainly not put anybody on the spot. But if you're here today and made that profession of faith, just let us know you're here and we'll give you some free information. If you're also watching online, contact us and let us know, and we'll mail you some information as to who you have become in Christ. Amen.